Welcome to the Midland Seventh-day Adventist Church. We hope our broadcast will bless you.
Good morning, church, again. I'm glad it feels good to be back to Midland Church. I don't know how to express that, but this church is more than our home church. We are from Côte d'Ivoire, Ivory Coast. And for the past 6 years, our home church, because before coming to IFM, we were working in a country called Burkina Faso. So for 4 years, so added to those 7 years, we've been away. That is 11 years. So our home church has been more distant. And Midland Church is just like our home church because of the many communication we have, because of what you people are doing for us as a family and for our mission project. So it's really a blessing to be among brethren that mean a lot to you. I'm here with my wife, Elmi. She just shared the mission story. She was stressed, as you could see. French is our main language. And in addition to French, we have, African tribes. She speaks Baole, I speak Yakuba. So we speak different tribes, and so we communicate mainly in French. And she learned German in school. I learned Spanish. And so thank you for the student story. And our family is complete because I was here 2 years ago and I came alone. Today I'm here with Elmi, Eliora. Eliora was 6 months old when we began our journey with AFM. We were in training for 8 months in Bering Spring. And she began this journey with us. But we are also here with Eli Dena. Our son will join us 2 years after we began our mission project in Benin. Today, I will not show you much pictures because we have time this evening. I would like to share with you a proper sermon. But our family is so happy to be here. For the past 7 years, you've shown us kindness. You've shown us friendship. You've shown us generosity. And you've contributed a lot to our mission project. Your church, for the past 6 years or 7 years, because when we're in training, you started supporting our project, your church has contributed, and you will not believe, over $130,000. Amen. That's a lot of money. And in my dream, I never thought of being part of a project that will require such amount of funds. But you believe in reaching out to the unreached, to those that have not yet been exposed to the Word of God, and you sacrificed generously, you donated, and your contribution represents over one-third of our general contribution for the past 7 years. So you see how you mean a lot to us. And you've suffered with us when we were suffering, and you've rejoiced with us when we were rejoicing. And you have really impacted our family life. When we were alone in our first years, you provided us with a satellite dish. You assisted in getting some furniture for our house. And all these things, when we see them years after years, is as if you were close to our hearts. May God continue to bless you. The Bible text we read talks about Christ marveling. And actually, there are two instances in the Bible where Christ is marveling. The first one is the Bible text we read in Matthew 8, verse 10. There, Christ marveled at the centurion's faith. But somewhere else in Mark chapter 6, verse 6, Christ also marveled, but there he marveled because of their unbelief. So, the Bible tells about two instances where Christ really marveled. And on one side, he marveled because of the faith of somebody. And on the other side, he marveled because of the unbelief of other people. And my prayer is that may Christ marvel at our faith today. And I pray that this team work we've begun by faith to reach out to the dandies that has produced the fruit that you know about, because our good contact and friend, Mr. Norman, has been sharing details regularly with you. We pray that that faith journey we began to team up to reach out to those Muslims, and God has rewarded our faith by a lot of miracles. This evening, we'll share with you miracles that are happening in Kandy. I will share with you today two of those miracles. But my prayer is that today, Christ will marvel at our faith. So let's look at quickly the context of our sermon this morning in Matthew chapter 8, verse 1 to 16. When, Matthew chapter 8, verse 1, when he came down from the mountains, great multitude followed him. Verse 2, and behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, you can make me clean. Verse 3, and Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will be clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said unto him, see you, tell no man, but go your way, show yourself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. Verse 5, and when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came into him a centurion, beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lies at home, sick and paralytic, grievously tormented. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. Verse 10, when Jesus heard it, he marveled, and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, not in Israel. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and the west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, but the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go your way, and as you have believed, so be it done unto you. And his servant was healed in the same hour. Amen. These are some of the stories in the Bible that really challenge our faith. And this morning, I pray that as our faith is challenged, we'll cry, "Oh Lord, come and rescue our unbelief." Back in Africa, I normally preach differently and I dress differently, especially when I am in my home country. But today I'm dressed in a native Beninese dress. And when I came in this morning, I looked at each one that was coming, in the church, and I was really impressed. You people are nicely dressed. You look wonderful. And there is a saying in the West, clothes make the man. Or in the name of a popular website, clothes make the girl. People want to look right, to wear the right dubs. They want to just look good, feel good about themselves. And either you are looking your best or you are revealing your worst. And in our culture in Africa, some of the people think that our church is the church of rich people because people dress very nicely to go to church. And when we sometimes witness in our neighborhood, people will ask us, "Are you a member of that church where people dress nicely?" And we say yes. So I'm glad we are nicely dressed today. And some fabulous and famous people, when they wear something, it will sell. But our Christ was not fabulous in his dress. He had nothing to attract people. He didn't make fashion with his appearance, but he had something that was attracting people. And my prayer is that as he had no cloth to attract, but yet he was followed by multitude, he had no cloth of royalty, but yet Gentiles believe in him and they rely upon his power to have healing and to have problems solved. So I pray that that part of our Lord Jesus Christ will also come out of us. As people see us well-dressed and they appreciate the way we dress to go to church, I pray that they will also be attracted by our faith. So when Jesus entered Capernaum, and Capernaum is the field of repentance, a city of comfort, this man came to our Lord Jesus Christ. And there are two things I want us to observe here. The first one, the person whom the centurion comes to Christ for is not himself, or not his son, but for his servant. His servant is sick, and Luke says that that servant was dear to him. And this here we have a worthy example to maybe challenge some masters who don't have much regard for their sick servant as they give to their oxen or their swines or other things. And it is important because the happy mixture of humility and faith which was found in the centurion as he owned his unworthiness of having Christ come under his roof as acknowledged Christ's power, that by speaking of a word his servant might be healed by him. So here is a man that is not attracted by Christ's outward appearance, but as Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing. This man has heard about what Christ is able to do. And as a Gentile, he has heard that Christ doesn't make, segregation, doesn't put barriers. And he comes to Christ humbly, asking him to heal his servant who is sick. So we can learn here that humility is both the fruit of faith and the companion of faith. An humble soul has a high esteem of Christ and a low esteem of himself. And the centurion demonstrated this. Another thing we can observe in the centurion going to Jesus, our Savior takes the centurion's faith. He wondered at it from him. And Christ wondered because that faith he has is from God. And he wondered at it because a man was portraying such a faith that can only be wrought by God. What can be more wonderful than to see Christ's wonder? We do not find our Savior wondering at worldly pomp and greatness. When the disciples wondered at the magnificence of the temple, Christ rather rebuked them than wonder with them. But when he sees the gracious act of faith, he is ravished with wonder. Putting this paste, I want to share with you a story that really challenged us recently. That story was from our lay worker, Rigobert. I will tell you more about Rigobert this evening. Rigobert was a Muslim. He is our first Muslim convert baptized. He was baptized a year ago. But Rigobert portrayed a great faith recently, just last April. Like the centurion, and like the woman with a blood issue, when I shared with Rigobert how Christ can meet with us during communion service, I shared with him that, like the centurion requested that the Lord should just say something and his servant will be healed, and the woman with the issue of blood in Mark chapter 9, she said, if I could just touch his garment, I would be whole. So I shared with Rigobert and told him, if we have that opportunity of partaking to the emblems, the bread and the wine, which represent the body of Christ and the blood of Christ, I shared with him that miracles can happen. And Rigobert believed, and he said, I would like the Lord to do a miracle for me. Before we met him, he used to deceive people as a marabu. A marabu is somebody who has knowledge in the Quran, can recite the Quran, and can communicate with spirit. So he used to prepare charms for women to get husbands and for men to get wives. So if you see a lady you are interested in, you don't have to just go and seduce her or date her. You go to Rigobert, you prepare a charm for you. You just give to that lady a gift or a food item, and she'll start loving you. And she will hate anybody else. So that was what he was doing. And another part of his job was to make money by deceiving people. He would take some poisonous herbs and throw them in wells in the night. And when people drink from those wells in villages, they get sick. So when he does that in a village, he will come with his team, about four of them. So he will set up in a hut. And when the people will start having stomach pain, his colleague will go to those houses and say, there is a witch doctor in town that can heal you. So they will bring those sick people to his hut, and he will give them the antidote of the poison he put in the well. So he was getting rich like that. And Rigobert was under a spell himself. His former girlfriend, they had a girl. She's 14 years old today. She also got baptized recently in February this year. But since they had that child, the girl was, the lady was mad at him, and she took his underwear to a witch doctor. And the witch doctor, as you may not know, but in Africa and in Benin, voodoo is just 80% of allegiance of the people. So the witch doctor worked on that underwear, and Rigobert became impotent sexually. And he didn't take it seriously the first 3 months, but after a year, he became concerned. So he went to many powerful witch doctors, but he didn't get healed. And the illness was on him for 14 years. So he couldn't get married after that girl. And he was 24, 25 when he got that girl. And today he's 35, and his life was almost miserable. And he thought he was paying for all the wrong he did to people by deceiving them and by making also charms to tie a woman to a man to a woman. So when he became converted, he confessed his sin. And during the communion service, I told him, and by the way, Mr. Norman provided that communion set, and I think you know about it. So he said, today will be my day of miracle, my day of deliverance. So he believed, and he said, I want the Lord to really touch me. As I take the bread and I take the wine, I want the Lord to heal me from that illness. So Rigobert was the one who shared the bread. So, and another friend shared the wine. And that Sabbath, just 3 months ago, Rigobert believed, and the Lord was touched by his faith. That night, Rigobert had some pain. He went to ease himself to the restroom. He saw blood coming out when he was easing himself. He was scared. But that was the beginning of his deliverance. The spell was gone, and Rigobert was healed. So, our Lord is still at work. We just need to show faith as the centurion. So this morning, I would like us to pray. Lord, teach me not to place my admiration where No, Lord, teach me to place my admiration where you fix yours. And Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. I know each one of us go through challenges, all kind of situations, financial, marital, professional. We need just to show some faith, and the Lord will honor our faith. The great controversy in our mission project in Benin, as some of you know, it's really real in Africa. We work with people with animist background, and they, though they practice Islam, they still consult with witch doctors, they still throw spells. They still practiced magic. And since we got there, we've had all kind of attacks from the enemy, and the Lord has been good to us. Sometimes religion can get in the way of our relationship with God. Faith is not about rules, regulations, and religion. It is about we human being reaching out to a God who reaches out to us through Jesus Christ, who reaches into the pain and anguish of our living. I have a story about a businessman. A business executive became depressed. Things were not going well at work, and he was bringing his problems home with him every night. Every evening, he would eat his dinner in silence, shutting out his wife and 5-year-old daughter. Then he would go into the den and read the paper using the newspaper to wall his family out of his life. After several nights of this, one evening his daughter took her little hand and pushed the newspaper down. She then jumped into her father's lap, wrapped her arms around his neck, and hugged him strongly. The father said abruptly, "Honey, you are hugging me to death." And she said, "No, Daddy, I am hugging you to life." I pray that the Lord will hug us to life today. This was the greatness of Jesus. He took people where they were and hugged them to life. That is precisely what Jesus did for the centurion. We want to assure you that our Lord still do miracle. So this is Latifu. After 14 years, Latifu is planning to get married. And something he couldn't do for the past 14 years. He couldn't even date. But as soon as he got delivered, he started dating a girl that we put him in contact with. And by the grace of God, before the end of the year, we'll send you pictures of their wedding. Or maybe early next year, if God wants. So Ellen White talks about the great controversy most of the time in her writing. And we need to know that in the mission faith, that is real. Our Muslim people, 99% Muslim, they believe, because they are spirit and power oriented, they strongly believe in dreams and visions. And the way the Lord relates to them is different to the way the Lord relates to you here. Because they are touched when they have asked other spirits, other powers to help them achieve something that didn't work. When you pray in the name of Jesus, and they see that your prayers is answered, their worldview is shifted. And they said, "There is a reason for me to believe in your Lord and Savior." So we witness to our people through power encounter, how God is powerful over other spirits, and how the Lord shows his power in their life. Recently, as you know, voodoo worship uses python, the snake. And the snake, according to their myth, taught men and women how to procreate. But the story I want to tell you also about how God can work miracle when we have faith is about a young man. I don't have his picture. His name is Nasiru. And these are some of the beliefs they have. Snakes are not seen as symbols of evil, as in the story of Adam and Eve. Snakes are considered to be the holders of intuitive knowledge. Women often dance with serpents to represent the spiritual balance between the dangers, to celebrate the link to this sacred and ancient knowledge. Magic used for both good and evil purposes is an integral part of
for voodoo.
So, Nasiru, a friend of ours, was attacked spiritually by a snake. Because he was close to us, he was assisting us in moving in town and studying the culture. Some people in his neighborhood were unhappy with him. They warned him not to assist us, not to tell us some of the things in the culture, but Nasiru continued to do it. And one night, he was attacked spiritually by a snake. He didn't see the snake, but he was beaten in the spirit. And Nasiru became healed, seriously healed. His leg started to swell, and they took him to the hospital. They tried all kind of injection and treatment. It didn't work. And finally, they took him to native doctors, witch doctors. And one of them discovered that he had 14 snake teeth in his leg. And those teeth are not physical. They are spiritual teeth that were in Nasiru's leg. And they tried to remove those teeth. A witch doctor tried to remove those teeth. But Nasiru was paralyzed for almost a week, and he couldn't walk. And the rumor was that we were responsible for his sickness, and it was a very bad press on us. So when I was informed, I went to Nasiru's house, and he was really in pain. He couldn't walk. The leg has swollen maybe 3 times the size of normal. And Nasiru was hopeless. He has tried orthodox medicine. He had tried different witch doctors, and no solution. So it was on Friday night evening, the Sabbath has started, and I told Nasiru that I was really concerned about his health, and I said, we can either give you extra money so that you go for medical treatment elsewhere, or I will pray with you. And Nasiru said, I've already tried orthodox medicine. I've tried witch doctors. I've seen how God has been protecting you, because this spell was not only on me, but the spell was also on you. But I saw that you were not under any curse, any attack. So I prefer that you pray, and the protection that your God gives you, I will also have that protection. So I prayed for Nasiru. I said, you need to have faith that the Lord Jesus Christ can do this for you. And he said, what else can I do? I've tried other things. I have faith. Just pray for me. So I prayed for Nasiru that night. And the Lord was so grateful. From that night, Nasiru started feeling better. And what he couldn't do for a week, in just 6 hours, Nasiru was back on his leg. So Nasiru saw that there is really power in the name of Jesus, and by just believing in him, we can really have challenges taken care of. We don't have to be smart to benefit from the Lord's healing power. We don't have to be good. We don't have to be wise. We don't have to be wonderful. We don't have to be anything. We just need to have faith. I pray that, as the Lord said in Hebrew 12, let's read Hebrew 12, verse 1 to 2. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race as it is set before us, looking into Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and that sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Like in the Bible, the Lord is ready to answer our prayers if we have faith. The disciples cried out, "Lord, increase our faith." And I pray that today that will be also our prayer. Like the woman with the issue of blood, the Lord demonstrated his passion and his love. Lord has been good to us for the past 6 years. We've been through some hard time. We've had challenges raising funds. We have had all kind of attacks, but the Lord has sustained our faith and he has answered our prayers. I pray that as we continue this journey, we have maybe 4 more years to go, and we are here for different reasons to fundraise, and it's a huge amount, but by faith, the Lord will see us through. We also have challenges back in our mission field. We left about 40 people with no other Adventist experience, but we have faith that the devil will not succeed in dividing the group and in making them stray away. As we pray today for the Lord to increase our faith, just like the centurion, may we come humbly to him and put aside other things that have, been stepping blocks in our growth in our faith. May the Lord be with us as we continue to support the Denji project, and have a great Sabbath day. God bless you.
You have been listening to the broadcast from the Midland Seventh-day Adventist Church at 2420 East Ashman in Midland, Michigan. If you are in the area, we cordially invite you to visit our church Saturday mornings. If you're a distance away, we encourage you to continue visiting our website and weekly podcast at midlandsda.org.